Williams and Jenkins come to the Presbyterian Church on the 5th January morning, the first Sunday in our new year. I ask blessings on everyone in this building and who are not able to be here today for the coming new year. May it be the best year we've had so far. Amen. We'd like to welcome all of our visitors today. We have visitors over to my left.
They've been here before, but a long time ago, the Fridges and Ms. Jenkins, and they've been friends from Madison, what, we think 30 years ago. So, welcome. I didn't even know him, and he would have known me anywhere else, I don't think.
All right.
You met in Stephen. I'll hold that again.
Anyone in the middle? Say the right.
Ms. Ryan was a substitute teacher for a lot of years at Hay High School, and her husband was a shop teacher. So a lot of people that Mrs. Hay can remember them. Ms. Ryan asked yesterday.
Okay.
Ms.
We'll get to a prayer request in a moment. Do we have any announcements that aren't in our bulletin?
Yeah.
That's okay. No problem. Only opportunity today.
What is prayer request and then announcement? Youth are on the outing. They should be traveling from Centerville about now. So,
safety for me. prayer request.
Mary Jo,
yes.
There's another
announcement.
Okay. I know this is up here for today's activity. It does not list Kids for Christ. Kids for Christ is today at 5 and not next Sunday.
Okay.
There will be another one, I think, on the 18th, but it's today, not next Sunday.
Okay. Kids for Christ today at 5, not next Sunday at 5. Do we have any prayer requests?
We lost our friend Kate Cassidy to her 2 years battle with cancer over the holidays. And I'd like to thank all the people in the church who asked me about it and prayed for her, sent her cards.
For tonight, we proved everything, but we slipped up on some things. And Elizabeth needs this, or it's going to be helpful to her in her training, and so she's going to help work with Deborah and an additional meeting of the children, and that's one that is tonight at 5 o'clock. So fifth grade. 5 years old through fifth grade.
That's
okay. Our K-5 is going to emphasize that. Our proof reading sometimes doesn't work. Mine does. I'm the proofer sometimes.
Next Sunday after church, the Grace team, which is the mission team that Nancy and I run, will have a soup lunch. Please stay. It'll be free. You're welcome to make a donation. Our change jugs, I took those up this week. We're going to count it this coming week. I believe we're going to be just a little short of the $1,500 we were trying to raise, but we can supplement that with the soup lunch next week, and we'll use anything over and above that for further mission work this year. So next Sunday, soup, homemade, Nancy's homemade soup, and she does good.
getting back to the prayer request, Brother Larry, I don't know if you saw Friday since then or not. It was a very touching story. I don't know this gentleman, but I think I would like to know him, Pastor. It was at Fulham Presbyterian Church. I just don't remember this. Maybe I've forgotten that you all said that this was announced, but now I can't tell you his name.
Ray DeVeers.
Ray DeVeers.
And I didn't play that right, but Raise the Breeze.
Okay, I remember the feeling. He was in a very horrific car crash in September and was in an induced coma until Halloween. And he had had many surgeries and facing more surgery And he was back in the pulpit this morning at Woodbine preaching the first time since mid-September. So our prayers as a church go with this gentleman. I don't know him, but it sounds like he needs all the prayers that we've got to
send up. He does. Amen. Terry Crick called her mom. She's mentioned her before, but she's in the hospital. She's having stomach and chest pain today. Ask that we specially remember her. Also,
she's on the prayer list. Her name is Mildred Mitchell.
Mildred Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
Alfred Bennett asked me last night to pick him up and bring him in this morning. He wanted to come to church this morning, but then I got a call this morning and he's not feeling comfortable. Not feeling good.
We'll start with Brother Ralph. If there's, I'm sorry.
Rose Stegall, lady I work with, the police department officer, 22-year-old son in a car crash on the 1st of January.
Do we have anyone else?
Young man out of the Woodbine Church that helped with our Bible study preparations this summer here. One car accident killed his funeral was Saturday. Many of our young people knew him and had worked with him. 20 years old. Ruggles.
If there are no other prayer requests, I ask you at this time to pause in silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship of God.
Oh, just left, but God has brought us through.
Amen.
He is our hope for today and for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving and praise for your goodness to us. Lord, that you call us to be a part of your world and your kingdom and your family, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we have assembled today, that you would so use us for your honor and glory. So direct our hearts, our actions, our thinking, Lord, that we might bring honor and glory to you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we pray that you would just speak to us that which we need from you. Lord, you have said that where your people are gathered, you would come and meet with them.
Yes.
And we have gathered today, and we just thank you for your presence. We rejoice in it. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
Please join me in our Apostles' Creed, 7:16 in the back of your book, or up on the screen in the wall.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades, the third day of the week. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
And we have the words of assurance. In this new year, we have again offered the joy of discipleship, of service to God by serving others. God has placed great trust in each of us. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The active elders.
Yes, please.
Melanie, Sam. David. Jim. Karen. Do we have another active elder present this morning? Gary, you want to assist? The Lord's table. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the Apostle Paul giving us the words of, we call them the words of institution, where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He was meeting with the disciples, celebrating Passover, as good Jewish people did year after year. They were remembering being freed from Egypt, for they had been slaves under the leadership of Moses as he was directed by God. He led the Israelites to the promised land. Well, he almost got them there. And along the way, he died and Joshua took over and Joshua led them there. Through the generations, they remembered through the eating of a Passover meal. The night of the Passover, Jesus met with his disciples for the last time that he would celebrate the Passover with them before his death. As they were eating, and he says, for Paul, the Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Presbyterians celebrate open communion. And that means, to us at least, it's open to all believers in Jesus. And we're not concerned with your church affiliation, except as you're a part of the invisible church, as it's often referred to, the church universal, the family of God. You have become a member of the family of God through your faith in Jesus and his death for you to pay for your sin. So as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, you're invited to join us as we eat and drink from his table. As the scripture said, Jesus offered thanks for the meal, and let us offer thanks. Lord God, for this bread, we lift it up to you, thanking you that you cared enough for us to send your Son into the world to die for us. And Lord Jesus, we come to thank you, knowing that you are the second person of the Trinity. Thanking you, Lord, that you were willing to leave your place in heaven, being one with God and coming as God, putting on flesh and blood, sinews. Lord, coming to reveal God to us in a way that He had not been revealed before. And Lord, to teach us, to give us a good example, but then to die for us, to pay the penalty of our sin that would separate us from You. And Lord, thank You. And thank You for this bread as a means of remembering. Bless it, Lord. And as we consume it, let it be a spiritual reception of You, a renewal of our relationship with You. Yes, even a proclamation of our faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The cup, O Lord, we lift it up. We thank You for the blood. Blood shed for the remission of sin or the forgiveness of sin. Lord, we know that in the blood is the life. And You poured out Your life for us as Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross. Thank You, Lord, that You were willing to do it for us. And Lord, as we partake, let us think deeply and seriously. Let it not be a light thing, but let us, Lord, know Your love and Your sacrifice for us. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we eat, remembering His body broken for us. Jerry, the body of Christ broken for you. And we drink, remembering His blood shed for us. The blood of Christ shed for you. Elders, please serve the people. Eat and drink. The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Lord, again, we offer thanks and we offer praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today, Jesus said, "Give the blessing to give and receive." I ask our ushers to come forth and receive our tithe and offering at this time.
Down in hopeless delay, your hand, my Lord, oh, poor little Jesus, oh, Mary said unto
goodness, let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in the house of the Lord. Let's say good morning to each other. Good morning, Jesus. Can we say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, all right. You know what? 2008 has been a rough year for a lot of people, all right? And 2009, it's going to have some rough moments too. But you know what? We don't need to be disappointed. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And I know the Lord's been trying to teach me some lessons lately, and I know what it is now. I figured it out finally. I'm a slow learner sometimes, but I finally figured it out. It's all about Him. We've got to trust Him. I mean, you know, I work every day in the financial industry, when that hadn't been fun, I can tell you, because a lot of people have lost a lot of money. But you know what? Our faith shouldn't be in that money. I've got a retirement plan. And it's not worth a lot right now. But you know what? I got the best retirement plan in the world. I may never get to quit working, but that's okay. Because I'm not supposed to quit working while I'm here. I'm supposed to be a child of God, a child of Jesus. I am. And I realize that. And so you know what? 401k plan, retirement plan, no health benefits, whatever. I shouldn't be worried about that. I shouldn't be disappointed, and I realize that now, hard as it is, and not that I won't worry about it sometimes, because I'll tell you what, there are going to be some days when I might have that creep in, and I might worry, and I might, you know, flip a little bit, but I don't need to, because the Lord has said, and He's told us, and if you look in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 29, then it's written in red, those that have given up much for me, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly what it says, but He tells us, if you've given up lands, you've given up money, you've given up family, you've given up whatever you've given up for me, it's not going to matter. Because when it comes time to be with me, and you have him with you every day, but when you leave this world and go to be with him, you're not going to care. It's not going to matter one bit. What is going to matter is that you believed in him, you trusted in him, and you shared that word with him.
Amen.
When I got married, and that's been a long time ago too, one of my wedding showers, I have never forgotten this, but this has come to me several times lately. There was a little lady there that was real elderly, and her name was Miss Sophie. And we were going around introducing ourselves at the wedding shower and telling how they knew the bride, you know, to be. And saying something that described ourselves with the first letter of our first name. And when Miss Sophie got to her, and she was probably, I can't remember, she was in her 80s, I'm sure, at that point. And she said, "I'm Sophie, and I'm satisfied." And you know what? That has stuck with me forever, because the Lord has said to us, learn to be content in whatever state you're in. So, regardless of what the new year brings or the old year's had or in every day that life brings, guess what you've got? You got the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Share that with everybody you know. You're going to be all right no matter what year or what day it is. Let's go up and sing this melody.
Well,
we've
talked about that.
And presented him with gifts of gold and oil, incense, and myrrh.
been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Turning to him again, I have a will. Hymn 166, week 13. We're going to sing verses 1 and 5. Are you ready for Christmas to be over? Well, it's not long. As far as the birth narratives are, but hopefully Christmas, and we talked about this last week, and hopefully it will last all year. Christ born in our lives. Wise men or women. Epiphany. Actually, Christmas is almost over. 2 days from now, the 6th, is Epiphany Sunday. Now, where did you first hear the word epiphany? If you grew up in what we would call a liturgical church, you probably heard it all of your life. Probably some kind of liturgy and some semblance of the Christian year. I grew up outside the church, but when we went, we didn't hear much about Epiphany. Maybe it's because we were not there those Sundays. And that was quite often. But Epiphany is January the 6th. And what is Epiphany? We hear people talking every once in a while about having an epiphany. Epiphany, to be defined it, and you may think, well, a lesson in definitions. We're not even insisting on spelling, but let's do a definition or two. Epiphany, defined, is a manifestation. Now, the Pentecostal group, at least the Oneness Pentecostal, use that word manifestation quite often. And I learned that from talking to a preacher's wife once. And they talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They say one God, three different
manifestations of that God. And they insist on you using the word manifestation in your conversation. If you use revealed, they'll correct you, or this lady would. She was much into the word manifestation. But let's look at the word epiphany. It is a manifestation. In the church, it's a Christian festival observed on January the 6th, or near then, and it commemorates the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles being represented, in this case, by the people we refer to as the Magi, or the wise men of the Bible. And an epiphany is an appearance or manifestation, especially of a deity. Now, manifestation, to make evident, to reveal, if you will, to get it as plain as your nose on your face, as we often say about things. That was as plain as our nose on the face. It's something that is easily or readily perceived by the senses, especially by the sight. We can look and we can see it. So it's been manifested to us. It's understood and recognized by our thinking. We see it, we understand it. It's kind of obvious. Something that is so obvious, we can't hardly miss it. It's been defined as to make clear or evident, or to make just as clear as glass. Clear glass. It's been defined as make clear to the eye or understanding, or to show something very plainly. And one illustration that Webster put in is he manifested his approval. He gave his approval with a hearty laugh. He gave his approval, or expressed his approval, or made evident his approval with a hearty laugh. Angels. How many of us have been visited by angels? Maybe you have and didn't know it. How many know that an angel has never visited you? Okay. How many know that an angel has spoken to you? Well, if the angel hasn't spoken directly to you, you can go through the Word of God, and when the angel spoke to the shepherds, maybe the angel was speaking to you and to me. The angel spoke to the shepherds, part of the Christmas story. Every Christmas pageant has the shepherds and the angels and the Magi, do they not? Luke chapter 2. On the night of Jesus' birth, the angel told them, the shepherds, that the tidings of great joy, he brought tidings of great joy, and these tidings were to all people. And the tidings, or the message, was about a Savior. Or the message was about Jesus. A Savior, he said, the angel did, has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I believe this is a King James rendering, and the way we remembered it, we memorized it years ago. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Today, a Savior has been born to you. And I think it goes on, He is Christ the Lord in the city of Bethlehem, and He is Christ the Lord. A message for all people. A message for all people. Jesus, for all people. Think about it, if you will. a Savior for all people. There are people in the world that I have been involved with, and people in the world that I am sure that you have been involved with, who are only concerned about their little group. And anything outside of that little group, we don't care about. We don't want to have anything to do with them. It happens in families sometimes. Family, even build a compound, so to speak, and we don't want to be bothered by those outside of our group. Well, at the time of Jesus' birth, we read in history that the Israelites were not open to the rest of the world. They were not open to the thought that this Messiah that they had been looking for years would be for all people. They wanted a Messiah to come, or the religious leaders at least did. They wanted a Messiah to come for their benefit and to the devil with the rest of the world, so to speak. They were looking out for themselves. They wanted the one that they were looking for. They wanted this Messiah or the Christ to be their very own. They wanted Him to come just for their help, their benefit. They wanted Him to come to rescue them, be their rescuer from especially the Roman occupiers. But friends, Jesus came for all people.
Amen.
He came for me. He came for you. He came for those people on the other side of the world. Those people even in the darkest jungle. He came to rescue them. John 3:16, if I may paraphrase it, God loved the world so much in that day, and God still loves the world so much in our day. He loves us so much that He sent Jesus.
Amen.
So that whosoever, color, creed, didn't matter. Gender, doesn't matter. He sent Jesus so that whosoever believes on Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And the lesson today is about God revealing Himself through the person of Jesus to the Gentile world, as they are represented in the wise men. Paul talked about the message. It's Ephesians 3, if you want to go look it up. Ephesians 3 and I guess 1 and following. He talked about his job was to share this mystery that had been hidden for oh so long. For years. The people that were called to share God and with the rest of the world, they had became a close-knit group, so close that they didn't even want to associate with anybody else. And if they shook hands with a Gentile, they considered themselves unclean. And before they could at least go to the temple and worship, they had to be ceremoniously clean. So rather than inviting the outside world, the Gentile world, into the family of God, they were doing what they could to keep them out. They didn't care for them. And Paul talks about his task. God had called him and revealed this great mystery or this great secret that had been hidden so long. It really wasn't a secret at all. As you go back in the Old Testament, and then you see the angel coming and saying it's a message to all people. People say the people, not just the Jewish people or the Israelite people, call it whichever one you like, but to save all people. So, in this lesson, we find some characters, and I'd like, if you will, to go through some of the characters. We see Jesus, and we are still in the thinking, hopefully, of Him being born as a little baby. We haven't moved on from that, too far from that yet, I trust. Maybe He was about 2 years old when the Magi got there, or the wise men. Jesus. And this could happen, what I'm about to say could be preached in July as easily as it could in January or December. Jesus is always the central message in the Christian message. He is the central character. If we get away from Jesus, we've got away from being Christian, because He is Christ. The church universal, is the church of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus, who is the Christ, or who is the Savior. We are His disciples.
Amen.
We are His servants. And then He even elevated His disciples and His servants to a position above that of servanthood. He still calls us to serve, but talking to the disciples, He says, you're no longer to be called servants. Now you can be called My friends.
Amen.
Somebody was writing back and forth on something called the Cumber List about, could Jesus be our buddy? Could God be our buddy? And they thought it was disrespectful to refer to God as even our friend. But if you go back and read what Jesus said, He said, you are My friends. I call you no longer servants, but friends. And I like to honor Him a little more than being buddy-buddy. I like to see Him at another level than I am. But He has said we can be His friends. Maybe buddy is just a little too common. But for a 7-year-old young man looking up to a big brother or a great neighbor, buddy is a pretty high standing, is it not? Leave Jesus out, we are something less than. We are called to be. The lesson is about people who came to worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. And the Bryans gave me a guidepost 2009. In today's devotional, it talks about the bread of life, or the breads, different kind of breads. And this person had grown up knowing about biscuits, cornbread, special time. They call them cloverleaf rolls. I don't know how I guess they had a special way to make them anyway. I never experienced that, because my mother never made those yeast rolls. But so I missed out on that. Have to go somewhere else to eat them. But anyhow, tell about the bread and how important bread is to our existence. And Jesus said that He was the bread of life. So important and necessary. And this writer, Mary Lou Carney, who wrote this devotional, she says, He is not the Oreo of life. Those Oreos are good, aren't they? Wow, they're so good. He is not the top steak of life. Or He is not even the cream cheese of life. But He is the bread of life. No matter what the Queen said, we need something more than cake to eat. Do we not? We need some bread, some solid food. He is the basic, daily, constant ingredient that we need in our life. Consider, if you will, next, the star. The star. Think of the star. Oh, there's been so much speculation about how it happened. Some want to speculate that the certain planets just got together at the particular time and it shined brightly and these stargazers followed that. These philosophers, these learned people from the East, probably Persia. We're not sure about that, though. There's so much speculation, but I'm going to suffice it to say, from my understanding, if God wanted to put three planets or six planets together, or all the planets in line where they would grow brightly and lead the people from thousands of miles away to the manger in Bethlehem or to a house in Bethlehem, I'm convinced He could do it if He can create the world. But also, the God who created heaven, and I believe He did. How long is a day in the 6 days? I don't want to argue that one. But in 6 days, He created the earth, His choosing of time. But God, who created the heavens and the earth, could have, and I believe He did, create a special star to signal the birth of His Son, or His own coming to earth in the form of a baby named Jesus, who became the Savior. Also, the Magi. Three camels, three men. Do we know it's three? No, we don't. The Bible don't tell us. Doesn't tell us it was only three. But Wesley, John Wesley, that founder of the Methodist Church, we'll give them some credit today. He says the wise men were the first fruits of the Gentiles. The first of the Gentiles that we have record of who came to worship Jesus. He said probably they were Gentile philosophers who through divine assistance, as God spoke to them, improved their knowledge of nature as a means of leading to the knowledge of the one true God. But he said it's not unreasonable to suppose that God just favored them with this extraordinary revelation. You ever had something that hit you like you didn't understand where it came from? Some extraordinary revelation? Some of you have. Some of us have. We don't understand it. It happened to Melchizedek, that priest that Abraham dealt with back in Genesis, and that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is even above that. It happened to Job. God came and spoke to Job, revealed to him. As far as we know, non-Israelite, non-Jewish. But then, in the Jewish community, in the Old Testament readings, descendants of Abraham. Oh my goodness. So many. Joshua, Moses, Isaiah. Special revelations. The Magi, though, we don't really know where they came from. We just know that they came. The Bible does not say that they were kings, even. Where did we get that? We got it from the song. John H. Hopkins, Jr. We three kings. They came to visit the king. They came by and conversed with the king, King Herod. But we don't know that they were kings. The Bible never says that. It doesn't say that they were not kings either. They could have been. How many? Some say there were 12. There's a little story about the fourth one who wasn't ready to go when the other three got started. And the whole story is about him trying to catch up with the three, if there were three. We don't know how many. But they brought three gifts. So that's where we get three wise men. But they traveled thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews. And when they found Him, they responded with joy and with worship and with gifts. A guy named Dwight Gunter speculated. Actually, I think he borrowed it from somebody else, but he put it in a sermon that I discovered. He said, "What if it had been three wise women? Men, can we think we can stand this?" Are you ready for it? You may have heard it before. I think I ran across it. What if it been three wise women? It says, the question is posed, do we know what would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men? And part of the story is that we think that the wise men arrived to visit the baby maybe 2 years later, based on they killed all the babies 2 years and younger, and they talk about a house in the book of Matthew rather than a cave or a stable. So it said they would have asked directions. The women would have asked directions, and therefore they would have arrived on time. But not only that, if it had been women, they would have helped deliver the baby. Then they would have cleaned up the stable. They'd have made a casserole. And they would have bought some practical gifts. And then we would have peace on earth. But it was men, so we don't have that. Think about Herod. Is that Herod? You could laugh at that, okay. So I'm okay, I guess. Herod. He says he was much moved, one version says. One version says he was disturbed. The Amplified uses two words, I think. When he was disturbed and troubled. But the whole Jerusalem was troubled with him. He was a foreigner. He was not Jewish himself. Or if he was, it was not full-blooded. He was disturbed at the message of the birth of the King of the Jews. Because that was his position. And he didn't want to give it up. He became a ruler by force. And the Jews were troubled. He was wicked and mad and a raging madman. Gunter, that told that little joke, also said, Herod the Great reigned from 37 to 4 B.C. And Jesus was born about 4 to 6 B.C. or 6 to 4 if you're going that way. He was a non-Jew. He was appointed by the Roman Senate. He was ruthless, murdering his wife, his three sons, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his uncle, and many others. So he had no problem killing all the babies in Bethlehem, two and under. His reign was notable for splendor, though, but his ruthlessness and his evil overshadowed it. He remodeled and added to the temple that Ezra and Nehemiah had led in the construction of when the Israelites returned from Babylonian captivity. But we remember him for that, but we also remember him for being the baby killer. Do we not? The gifts. What were the gifts? Gold was presented as a token of his royalty. The frankincense, or the incense, I believe the NIV calls it, was given in token of his divinity, and the myrrh used them in preparing dead bodies was in token of his suffering. These gifts were designed to express his divine and his human nature, some say. His prophetic, his priestly, and his kingly offices. Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. B.W. Johnson, back in 1891, said something to the effect that the providence of God is seen in these gifts. It provided the means necessary for the flight to Egypt that was to follow at once and to sustain the Holy Family in the foreign land. And then there was worship. There was worship. I'm sorry, the gifts. Then there was worship. Those who lived at the greatest distance from the means of grace often used the most diligence and learned to know the most of Christ and His salvation. The Magi came with joy. They brought gifts and they worshiped Him for who He was. Henry says this is the essence of true worship. Honoring God for who He is and being willing to give Him what is valuable to us. I was about 10 or 12 years old, little Christmas play. The first time I remember speaking in public in church, might not have been the first time, but as today, it's the first time I remember. I had a little poem I memorized and said. I think I memorized it, but I'm going to read it today. It says, "What can I give Him? Poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I'd bring Him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give Him? Give Him my heart." And that's true worship. And that might have been the reason that I'm here with you this morning. That little boy, I don't know. But I gave him my heart. And I tried to let him lead it throughout my life. Let's turn to 483, if you will. Stand together and sing. Maybe you want to give Him your heart this morning also. I'll meet you in the altar if that is your desire. 483. Hopefully we have worshiped. Now you might want to make a gift of your heart and your life to Him.